I make a motion to amend the agenda, adding an update from East Solution Tribe CEO Paul Mueller. First item under new business.
A motion to amend the agenda to add an update from Paul Mueller of EATS onto new business. Is there a second? So there's been a motion made, motion by Arlene, seconded by Carla to add Paul Mueller to the first item of business on new business. Update from EAT. Can I get a roll call, please?
Carla?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Rita?
Yes.
Arlene Wilson?
Yes.
Carlene Hoblett?
Is she on?
Jackie?
Yes.
Chance?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Did you say to approve the agenda with the amendment?
No.
Okay, so the amendment, the agenda has been amended. We still need a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda. This is Rita.
This is Arlene, I'll second.
A motion has been made to approve the agenda by Rita, seconded by Arlene. Can I get a roll call, please?
Carla?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Rita?
Yes.
Arlene Wilson?
Yes.
Jackie?
Yes.
Chan?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. The agenda has been approved. We'll move down to the approval of the minutes from the regular meeting January 18th, 2021, special meeting February 4th, 2021, and special meeting March 15th, 2021.
This is Rita. I'd like to make a motion to approve all three meetings, the regular meeting January 18th, special meeting February 4th, special meeting March 15th on the block.
I'll second.
A motion has been made by Rita and seconded by Arlene to approve the minutes from January 18th, 2021, February 4th, 2021, and March 15th, 2021. Can I get a roll call, please?
Carla?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Rita?
Yes.
Arlene?
Yes.
Jackie?
Yes.
Pam?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. The minutes have been approved. I move to recognition and presentations. Not this time. That'll bring us to public comments on agenda items. Is there any public wishing to comment on an agenda item? Is there any, Kirk, does anyone have their hands raised on the Zoom?
I see none.
Thank you. Moving down to student reports.
Student council is having a spirit week this week. And this is our last week of basketball, and our last scrimmage will be this Friday. And thank you to EATS for supplying the Pfizer vaccine to the students that were 16 and older. I got it, and I know all my friends did. Everybody else did. And there's PEAKS testing coming up in April, but that's about all that's happening right now. If you have any questions, we'd be happy to answer them.
Any questions for Chance? Thank you. We'll move down to board reports. And then at this time, that brings us to superintendent's report to the board.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So there were just a few things that I wanted to add to my report. Most of the information is contained in my report, but Ms. Barnett is continuing to recover from her broken leg. I have permission to tell you all that. She's doing well. So they're going to be out till the end of this week, and then they're going to head back to Accutane. The legislative session is in full swing. I've provided testimony on multiple occasions, especially with regard to Senate Bill 32, which has to do with establishing a middle college as being mandatory within all districts in the state, for which the district would be required to pay for all of those classes for any students that wish to take part. While the concept is good, it's flawed in that it's mandatory, and this is a local control issue for which, you know, we need to be able to opt in. So that's the position that I've taken on that. There's also a reading bill that is coming up that will likely pass. It's the third session that it's been discussed, and it's been amended several times. There's a lot of accountability built into that. I would just say that with what we have going on in our district right now with the early literacy grant, we are going to be in a great position to meet the requirements of the state when that bill does come around. So that's all, unless there are questions.
Does any members of the board have any questions of the superintendent's report? Seeing none, we move to district correspondence. Does any members of the board have any district correspondence they would like to discuss? I just had one quick item. I wanted to just mention my excitement over the correspondence received from our shop teacher over here with the net mending class. I'm really excited that the kids are building actual gill nets. And they're learning that skill, and I just wanted to thank him for his efforts in bringing something to our district that is very relevant. That brings us down to business manager's report.
Thank you, Madam President, members of the school board, superintendent. My clear report is in your packet, and I do not have anything to add at this time.
Any members of the board have any questions of the current from the current financial report? Hearing none, do we have a motion to accept the current financial report?
I'll make a motion to accept the current financial report.
This is Rita, I'll second.
A motion made by Arlene, seconded by Rita to accept the current financial report. Can I get a roll call, please?
Hillary?
Yes.
Rita?
Yes.
Arlene Wilson?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Jackie?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. The financial report has been accepted. Brings us to department reports. Activities Director Amy Mack.
So, as you heard, what I have is pretty slow. Is there any questions? I don't have anything to add.
Any members of the board have any questions on the activities report? Thank you, Amy. They'll move on to a special education report. Dr. Seifert.
Yes, thank you, Board President Brandel. The only thing I wanted to add, and I think that Superintendent Mayer mentioned this in his report, just under the AKCLSD grant, that we're very excited to have hired Sarah Schaefer as our reading specialist for the upcoming school year. And I do have to just sing the praises of the district in the midst of, you know, the pandemic and so many districts not being able to meet face-to-face with their students, you know, that we have really been able to implement our grant. Of the 16 districts that received the CLSD grant, we are one of the shining stars as far as implementation. So I'm very excited about heading into year three of the grant. We have so many returning staff, returning administration, so we are just not going to miss anything. We're right on track with our goals with the grant. So it's really a very exciting time. And as Superintendent Mayor said, we will be right in line to fulfill the requirements of the new reading bill. And, you know, we're really ahead of the game. So I'm just really, really proud of the district and how far they've come this year. I don't have anything else to add unless anyone has questions for me.
Hearing none, thank you, Dr. Seifert. We'll move to the Technology Director, Kirk Feldbauer.
Hello, you have my report in the board packet. There is one additional item that I'd like to add. The state of Alaska has recently purchased licensed the Canvas for the next 2 years. We may not, you know, I'm going to put it into implementation this year, but we may not actually implement this year. But we should be ready and may be able to do a pilot program at the beginning of next year. Other than that, everything else is in the report. And if you have any questions, let me know.
Hearing no questions, we'll move on to school counselor. Thank you, Kurt. Lindsay Pinkelman.
Thank you. Most of it's in the report. I'm really excited to get back to work with the freshmen and sophomores tomorrow. We're talking about unions and apprenticeship opportunities, what that might look like for some of our students. Continuing to do a lot behind the scenes to just rebuild some more current reporting for parents and students coming out of Power School, and just looking forward to the spring. It's a really busy time for school counselors, so kind of getting ready for all those activities.
Any members of the board have any questions? Thank you, Lindsay. That brings us to new business update. Paul Mueller from EATS.
Thank you. Thank you, Superintendent, Mayor, and School Board. So I'll just take you through a quick update of where we are on the vaccine throughout the community. As Chan said earlier, Standpoint Youth definitely came and stepped up, and we had 12 receiving their first dose of Pfizer. We had the vaccine heading down, so hopefully the same amount or more in King Cove can happen. And any one of, you know, that age group in False Pass will also, in Accutane, will have that opportunity as well. As far as the communities are doing very well on the vaccine update or uptick. Of course, we suffer with trying to get to that herd immunity number, as I've shared before, because it takes the entire population in effect into account, sorry. And when you have a larger group of people that are age 1 to 15, it's tough to get that number to that 70 to 80% threshold, but all the communities are doing a very good job. In addition to the communities, of course, we have seafood processor groups, Trident, Peter Pan, and Silver Bay. Now, Silver Bay is not in operation in False Pass, but I've been in contact with them. And of the 330 employees they have coming to the community starting in April, all 330 have signed up to get vaccinated. So I'm really proud that we'll be able to provide that to them and provide that comfort into the community there and get folks fully vaccinated. As far as Peter Pan and King Cove, I think our numbers are approximately 90% of the plants are vaccinated, and we will continue to be good stewards of the vaccine whenever they need it. We can add them to the list. We'll get people vaccinated just like we would with community members. In Sandpoint, we have Trident. And Trident's another phenomenal community partner of ours, and they are somewhere in the neighborhood, depending on the number of people they're hiring, somewhere between 87 and 92% of their staff has been vaccinated. Today alone, before they head down to the region, we vaccinated 193 Trident employees here in Anchorage prior to their departure after they end their quarantine period. So that's the vaccine update. Again, the community members encouraged to always call in. You know, they haven't been vaccinated or have questions, call their case manager, call the clinic, call our medical director, and get on the list. If you want information from somebody not at my organization, like Dr. Zink or Dr. McLaughlin, I can always set that meeting up. They're very willing because they understand that this is our ticket out of the pandemic. So I would like to say thank you to all those 16 and 17-year-olds that came through the clinic in Sandpoint, and we'll say that again when I see the pictures of folks in King Cove that do the same. I know there's a list of the kids there that want to do it. I'll stop there if the board or the superintendent have any questions for me on the vaccine side, and then I'll go into my next presentation.
I do have one question for that Pfizer vaccine for the kids 16 and older for King Cove. Do you have like an estimated time when you think they'll be bringing them in?
Friday. I'm sorry, Wednesday. We're shipping it down on Wednesday.
Okay.
And then once it's there, they will schedule accordingly.
Thank you. I think Patrick also had a question.
Yeah, I just had a quick question, Mr. Mueller, and thank you just up front for, you know, all your efforts to get the vaccine out here throughout the borough. Just in conversation with other districts, other superintendents, my perception is we are way out ahead of the ball on this. So that doesn't just happen. You know, it comes with leadership provided through EAT. So thank you. My real question is that, though, so we have a kind of a first round here in Sandpoint of 16 and 17-year-olds getting vaccinated. Will the ship come back around again for them to get vaccinated?
You mean for the...
So can they get vaccinated at any time if anybody else comes around that wants to get vaccinated?
Well,
a new list?
So, you know, that's a great question. So we of course, try to be... Again, good stewards of the vaccine, but we also realize that we're coming to that time where we may not have six people to take a shot. So we never want to waste a vaccine, but we also never want to say no. So we will do our best to schedule in those groups of six when it comes to the Pfizer vaccine. So it worked out in Sandpoint. We had 12 people. That was two vials. So we will, of course, build the list in King Cove and other communities. And if we have five people and one shot has to, I hate to say it out loud, but if one shot has to go to waste to get five doses into five 16 or 17-year-olds, to me, that is an easy decision, and I'll make that every day of the week and make sure we get those five or six. We won't hold it up and hope that we can find a six. We'll, of course, look, but we will not really want to hold those up because we want people to roll up their sleeves. I've been promoting that. So we'll continue to do that. Now, that goes for community members as well. We haven't had Pfizer in Sandpoint or King Cove. So there's I know that there's people that have been waiting for the Pfizer to come down before they get vaccinated, and we're going to be able to offer that to not just, of course, the 16- and 17-year-olds, but anyone in the area that wants that. And just so you know, as outside of the 16- and 17-year-olds, we are going to bring Johnson & Johnson into the region. So there is a single-dose option that's coming down to the region this week as well. And we'll, you know, that way we have all three weapons in our arsenal to be on the offense of this pandemic finally. So we have that for the 16 and 17-year-olds of Pfizer. We have Moderna and J&J heading to the region. So we're really excited about that.
Great. Thank you.
Any other members of the board have any questions about vaccination? Hearing none, did you have more, Paul?
I did. I've been working with Patrick over the last year, and we've, you know, when school started back up, just kind of kept in touch. He's always one of the community partners we check in with daily. and it's been reassuring that he's got his eyes and he's got his pulse on the kids of the community to make sure people are safe and getting educated, and together we get a lot accomplished. And one of the things I've noticed throughout the pandemic is just the fatigue that's set in, how difficult it is. Not only, look, I'm a 50-year-old man, and I struggle through this. So I asked Patrick quite a bit, how are the kids at the school doing? This has got to be one of the most difficult and most unique times of their life. And, you know, he reports back there's struggles. There's positives. There's negatives. His school has been open more than most schools in not just the state but the country. So I think everybody should applaud him for that. And the principals at each one of the locations for keeping the kids safe. But again, there's that taxing amount of physical fatigue, but I think that also hits the mental fatigue level as well. And I really am all about health and well-being. And when I think of health, it's not just physical well-being, there's a mental well-being. And I think of how Patrick has somebody on his bench that is great for the school kids. And that's Lindsay Pinkelman. She's the school counselor. And when I think about somebody that's a partner with behavioral health, I think of Lindsay and what she does for the children there. And in support of that position in keeping those kids, which are such a valuable commodity and such a valuable asset to all of the communities, and if not Alaska, if not the world, you know, we need Lindsay Pinkelman be there and really help those kids that reach out and need somebody. And a lot of times they're not going to reach out through their parents to the Eastern Aleutian Tribe Behavioral Health Department. They want to keep it in their school. I, again, look back 30-plus years ago and think about my school counselor and the help that I got. I can't imagine being their age during a pandemic, but I can tell you this, I would lean on my school counselor probably a lot if I had that opportunity. So in support of that position, Eastern Aleutian Tribes is in partnership with Aleutian East Borough School District is committed to that position and would like to support that economically for the next, well, I'll say, in $60,000 total, which covers, I don't know people's salaries. I don't know. I've had brief conversations, but that's over a 2-year period starting going back in time. From the first of the beginning of the school year, this current school year, going through next school year. So it's just our way of supporting another valuable person in our community to help with those kids if they have issues, to help them get through this pandemic in a safe and mentally well way of life. And I want to say thank you to Lindsay personally for what she does with the children, because I hear so many positives about her being somebody that they can talk to, somebody that listens, somebody that helps them through tough problems. And I want us to support that because, again, the kids are so important to me. I think I've shared this with a lot of folks independently, but I look at the elders, I look at the children, and by natural compression, everyone in between is taken care of if we focus on those two groups. And I'm proud of the ability to do this for the school borough and the kids of the school district. So on that's all I want to say, other than, again, thank you, Lindsay, for everything you do for the children in the school borough.
Thank you.
Good use of COVID funds.
Thank you, Mr. Mueller.
You're very welcome. And I heard somebody say that's a good use of COVID. That's exactly what the COVID funds are for. Is, you know, when we can help children and keep somebody valuable like Lindsay, keeping them connected, you know, it's a win-win for everybody, the community, the school, Eastern Aleutian Tribes, the state, everybody. There's not a loser in this group. The kids win, we win. So I'm really proud.
Thank you, Mr. Mueller, for your collaboration with us and for our students in our district.
You're very welcome. Thank you. Great.
I'll just pop in and say, like, I'm a blubbering mess right now, but I will get it together for the survey presentation. But that, yeah, I'm speechless. I thank you for recognizing the work of a school counselor. I thank you for recognizing how much more I can bring to our district. And I'm just so thankful to be part of such an amazing supportive team. We've already done so much together, and we've got big dreams, and I can't wait to see them in action. So, yeah, I don't know what more to say, but thank you.
You're very welcome. Just keep fighting that fight and keeping our kids mentally well and goal-driven. Thank you.
That brings us to our next item of business, survey results.
Thank you again, Board President Brandel. Earlier today in the workshop, Lindsay and I were able to present the strategic planning survey data. She's going to be bringing up the slides here in just a second. Boy, she's quick. She's already up. So just to recap a little bit what we talked about in the workshop, thanks for giving us the opportunity to recap that for the greater public audience tonight. So this process started last March of 2020 when the district put up the first strategic planning survey. The response rate wasn't great, but what we did get out of that were a lot of really great comments, and we were able to kind of group those comments into themes. And those themes that surfaced out of that survey are what we focused on for the 2021 survey. And those theme areas were raising student achievement, course offerings and activities, staffing, core values, and school climate. So from these themes, we were able to produce a survey so that stakeholders were able to give their input on prioritizing the importance of these areas. And so the number of respondents we received was over 100, which is a really great response rate. And I do want to say that this was really a concerted effort of a lot of people, the building principals, the district office staff, administrators, community members, board members that really were seeking out as many people as possible in the communities and parents and students. You can see that number of students at 58 was just a really great way to get that student voice into this strategic planning effort. And then the other half of the respondents came from our parents, communities, and staff members. So that was really a really positive thing to have that much input into this plan, because that is such a critical component. So in these slides, I'm just going to kind of briefly recap some of the highlights we talked about in the workshop. You can go ahead and go to the next slide, Lindsay. So this first one talked about staffing. Two of the critical areas that popped up as one of the most important areas were teacher retention, trying to keep teachers in our communities, and making sure that we're hiring high quality and highly qualified teachers who, you know, can produce the best results for our students and who really are creating, you know, effective classrooms. The next area, you can go ahead and go to the next slide, raising student achievement. We saw those highly important areas and priority areas of raising academic achievement and focusing on preparing our students for life beyond high school and having those life skills and, you know, being able to go out and leave high school and be able to attain whatever post-secondary pathway that they so desire and that we have given them those tools to be able to seek those areas in life. And then the third priority area we talked about in the survey was course offerings and activities. And what really came out in a lot of the comments was just that the communities and the students really want to have a variety of electives. They want to be able to have exposure to many different things, from fine arts to CTE, foreign language, career exploration. And again, it's kind of looking at trying to produce that well-rounded student that we, even in our small schools, are able to give as many opportunities as possible so that kids can really tap into whatever avenues that they want to pursue beyond high school. And then, Lindsay, did you want to talk a little bit about that on the slide? Can't hear you, Lindsay, if you are trying to talk.
Thanks for calling me out. So the CPE Career Exploration STEM component is a really interesting reflection of what the respondent wanted on the previous survey and how it came out here and how those three together, there's so much funding out there to support amazing opportunities for our communities. So I'm looking forward to diving into that as that really supports part of the mission of the strategic plan.
Thanks, Lindsay. And then the next priority area were the core values. And so this kind of looked at what, you know, what our communities and our students feel as though the experience of learning should be in our schools. And some of the things that came out were putting academics first, having a safe learning environment, having parent involvement and communication with home, and really just promoting that overall environment that supports engaging students in their learning. And then the last priority area, which has had a lot of overlapping comments with core values, was school climate. And that, too, you can see some of the same surfacing of comments about safe learning, making sure that we have bully-free, drug-free schools. Parent involvement came up again. A lot of that support for secondary development and independent skills beyond high school. So you can see that the comments could kind of, some of them could fall into a lot of different areas, but there was a lot of alignment with what we saw in the data and the direction that we have been going through in the process of developing the strategic planning draft. So the administrative team came up with some priority areas early on in this process and kind of started a flow of discussion of where the priority needs were in the district. And really those four areas were raising academic achievement, educator retention, development of post-secondary opportunities, and technology programs. And so within the surveys, we were able to see a lot of comments that were reflective of those same priority needs. And Lindsay, I'm going to turn it back over to you.
So I think the results of the survey definitely just pointed and reiterated the whole mission of our district, which is to provide quality education. That's the teacher retention part and hiring highly qualified teachers. The skills and opportunities, which were on the post-secondary piece, and also the encouraging lifelong learning through committed community in a safe environment, which is reflected in the core values and school climate. So this is an amazing start to drafting a really solid strategic plan for our district.
Okay. That closes out.
Thank you.
If anyone has any questions, let us know. We really enjoyed compiling this data. It's really a critical piece in the process of the strategic planning. And again, I think Chance, be sure to go back to all the students in the district and tell them how important it was and that their voice really was heard with 58 respondents being students. I think that was a great, great response rate. Thank you.
Thank you for recapping the survey results. And that brings us to our next item, the scholarship rubric. Defer to the scholarship committee. Did you want to say anything?
The scholarship committee has met several times and has come up with the rubric for the 2020-2021 AEBSD scholarship. And we're looking, I kind of went over it briefly in the workshop. Does anybody have any other questions before I ask for a motion?
Seeing no questions, we'll look for a motion to adopt the scholarship rubric for the 2020-2021 scholarship.
I'll make a motion to approve the scholarship rubric as presented to us.
I'll second it. It's Hillary.
A motion has been made by Rita and seconded by Hillary to approve the scholarship rubric for the 2021 scholarship. Can I get a roll call, please?
Carla?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Rita?
Yes.
Arlene Wilson?
Yes.
Carlene Hoblett?
Yes.
Jackie?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. The scholarship rubric has been approved.
We'll be working with Cheryl to get the flyer out and posted and sent to all of the seniors as well as their parents, families, caregivers.
Brings us to IPT phone poll ratification, the last item under new business. The Indian Ed policies had some minor changes in language that needed to be adjusted for the communication. What's the word I'm thinking of? The way of communicating with parents, and there was a phone poll conducted. I'm looking for a motion to ratify that phone poll.
I'll make a motion to ratify the phone poll from February 26, 2021,
for the IPP.
I'll second
this.
I'll second it.
So a motion by Arlene and seconded by Rita to ratify the phone poll of February 26, 2021, for the IPP. Phone call. Can I get a roll call, please?
Carla?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Rita?
Yes.
Arlene Wilson?
Yes.
Carlene Hoblett?
Yes.
Jackie?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. The phone poll has been ratified. That brings us down to the next item on the agenda of personnel. There's none at this time. So we are down to public comments on non-agenda items. Are there any members of the public that have any comments on non-agenda items? Is there anyone with their hand raised, Clark?
I see none.
Seeing no members of the public for comment, we'll move to board comments. Do any members of the board have any comments? Hearing none, we'll move down to agenda items for the next meeting. Any members of the board have any agenda items for our next regular meeting? So that brings us down to date, time, and location of the next meeting. Would be April. Anybody have any?
The 19th is the third Monday.
Does anyone have any problems with April 19th?
Sounds great.
Are we going to need a workshop?
I would have a placeholder in there for a workshop.
And a workshop at 1?
Could that work for everybody at 1? Okay.
Yep.
Okay, so we got April 19th at 6:30 for the regular meeting with a workshop at 1 p.m. April 19th. That brings us to our last item of business, the adjournment of today's meeting.
I'll make a motion to adjourn. This is Rita.
This is Carla. I'll second.
We have a motion made by Rita, seconded by Carla to adjourn the meeting. at 7:12 p.m. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed say aye. Hearing no opposition, the meeting is adjourned at 7:12 p.m.